duck.ai.
From the University of Kansas, this is KPR, Kansas Public Radio.
Support for KPR comes from Eagles Rest Natural Home, located in downtown Lawrence, specializing in toxin-free, customizable natural mattresses, bedding, and sustainably made furniture. Online at EaglesRestNaturalHome.com.
65 degrees in Topeka, 65 in Abilene, 64 in Atchison. It's 6:06. From the University of Kansas, this is KPR, Kansas Public Radio, 91.5 FM in Lawrence, 91.3 FM in Junction City. Always streaming at kansaspublicradio.org. Thanks for joining us today. Coming up in our next 30 minutes, an update of news headlines at 6:30. At 6:36, we will get you the results from the primary down in Georgia that was held yesterday. Then, Massachusetts Democrat Barney Frank was the first member of Congress to voluntarily come out as gay and the first to marry a same-sex partner.
Barney was an icon, literally a hero for the LGBTQ community.
Frank has died at the age of 86. We will examine his life and legacy coming up here on KPR.
Support for KPR comes from the Lawrence Times, an online news publication with an emphasis on stories that affect residents of Lawrence, Douglas County, and Kansas. Information at lawrencekstimes.com.
Partly cloudy skies tonight. We do have a 40% chance of showers after midnight. Lows around 50 degrees. 40% chance of showers tomorrow. Lows in the lower 60s. 80% chance of showers and storms tomorrow night with a low in the lower 50s.
Do you own a business and value the programs on KPR? Your fellow Kansas Public Radio listeners could be your best customers. Support KPR and reach your fellow public radio fans by becoming a corporate sponsor. Learn more at sponsorship.kansaspublicradio.org.
It's 65 degrees in Topeka, 65 in Manhattan. Hey, 65 for a change in Abilene. The time is 6:20. This is KPR.
Lifted and there is no agreement, we can have a frozen conflict. But we have to get past this stage that we're in right now.
Tomorrow on Morning Edition from NPR News.
Join us tomorrow morning, 5 to 9 a.m. on your KPR stations. The cleverly named Morning Edition is what you will hear with Matthew Algio as your local host.
This month's KPR Community Spotlight is on Kansas Trails Incorporated, working with communities across the state to build and care for small-town paths to wide-open prairie routes, connecting Kansans to the land and each other. More information at kstrails.org.
We have news headlines coming up next. It is 65 degrees in Topeka, 63 in Emporia. The time is 6:30.
To the Steelers after Mike Tomlin retired and the team hired coach Mike McCarthy, who helped Rodgers win the Super Bowl with the Green Bay Packers. This is NPR.
For Kansas Public Radio News, I'm Laura Lorson. Multiple candidates for governor are naming running mates as the June 1st filing deadline approaches. Democratic State Senator Cindy Holscher chose State Representative Casey Ohobesim from Wichita. The two lawmakers have plenty of experience working together at the Kansas State House. Holscher and Ohobesim were office mates when they were first elected to the Kansas House of Representatives back in 2016. They say school funding and affordable housing are two of their most important issues. Ohobesim says he also wants lawmakers to stay out of local school district curriculum decisions.
In some cases, we've not been doing a good job in terms of staying in our lane with respect to that.
Fellow Democratic gubernatorial candidate Ethan Corson announced his running mate, Salina Area Chamber of Commerce President and CEO Renee Duxler, today. Republican candidate Vicki Schmidt has announced Kansas Farm Bureau President Joe Newland as her choice for her lieutenant governor. The University of Kansas Hospital Authority is suing CVS, alleging the pharmacy company and its subsidiaries diverted more than $61 million from the hospital. Beck Shackelford-Wangonga has the details.
The 340B drug discount program is a federal system. It requires drug companies to lower the cost of medications for healthcare organizations that serve low-income patients. The lawsuit alleges CVS Health Corporation and its subsidiaries secretly kept almost $62 million of savings from the 340B program. The suit also alleges that when the hospital asked for an audit of CVS records, the company retaliated by terminating the agreement with KU. A CVS representative said the company doesn't comment on ongoing litigation. For the Kansas News Service, I'm Beck Shackelford-Wangonga.
The Kansas Board of Regents is reviewing policy changes to comply with new mandates related to diversity at state colleges. A new Kansas law bars public colleges from requiring instruction on diversity, equity, and inclusion, commonly known as DEI. Now regents must create new policies in order to comply. Regent Peter Johnston says he fears broad policies that could bar students from studying their discipline through a lens of diversity.
Because what we're really talking about is seeing CRT as the singular or single or only way to see these things, which of course is not what the law wants us to do.
CRT stands for critical race theory. Colleges must also eliminate staff positions related to DEI and mandatory diversity training for employees. Regents must fully comply with the law by July of 2018 or risk each college losing about $2 million per year. You are listening to Kansas Public Radio.
Now from Senator Alex Padilla of California.
Cultural icons. That is Billy Idol. The new documentary is called Billy Idol Should Be Dead. It'll be streaming. And people living the news.
Robert Echeverria is one of the more than 500 TSA officers who quit during the partial government shutdown.
All perspectives on what's happening every weekday from NPR News.
Join us tomorrow morning, 5 to 9 a.m. for Morning Edition. Matthew Algio will have your local news. From the University of Kansas, this is KPR, Kansas Public Radio, 91.5 FM in Lawrence, 96.1 FM in Lawrence. Lots of other frequencies, too, not in Lawrence. Listen online anytime at kansaspublicradio.org, where you will find a complete list of all of our frequencies.
Support for KPR comes from the Free State Festival, presenting a screening of I Love Boosters with filmmaker, rapper, author Boots Riley on June 24th at the Lawrence Arts Center. Details at freestatefestival.org.
Thank you so much for tuning in this evening. Coming up, following All Things Considered on your KPR One stations, we have 2 hours of classical music, of course. 7 o'clock sharp, we will have an update of news headlines and star date. Then the aforementioned 2 hours of classical music, followed at 9 o'clock by Jazz in the Night. If you're joining us on KPR 2 at 7 o'clock, we have the Moth Radio Hour.
Support for KPR comes from the Lead Center, where tickets are available to Friends of the Lead for 2026-27 events, including Lyle Lovett and his acoustic group, folk musician Rhiannon Giddens, and more. Details at lead.ku.edu.
64 degrees in Lawrence, 64 in Atchison, 62 in Chanute. It's 10 minutes before 7.
Morning Edition, civil but direct.
But let's be real. How could your party still screw this up?
Cut the chase with us every weekday from NPR News.
Join us tomorrow morning, 5 to 9 a.m. on your KPR 1 and KPR 2 stations. Morning Edition is the show. Matthew Algio will be your local host. We're live. We're local. We are Kansas Public Radio. From the University of Kansas, KANU and KANU HD1 Lawrence 91.5, KANH and KANH HD1 Emporia 89.7, KANV and KANV HD1 Olsburg Junction City 91.3, KANQ Chanute 90.3. Listen on the web at kansaspublicradio.org or tell your smart speaker to play Kansas Public Radio.
Support for KPR comes from the KU Natural History Museum, offering a variety of public events throughout the year for K-12 youth, KU students, and families, including monthly series and special events. See upcoming events at biodiversity.ku.edu.
We have news headlines coming up next, followed by Stardate, then 2 hours of classical music. I want to invite you to join us for the 780 Songwriters Circle, presented by the Lawrence Public Library and KPR, hosted by Chris Mola. featuring local artists Arthur Dodge, Kelly Hunt, and Julie Schwarting, free at the Lawrence Public Library Wednesday, June 10th at 6 p.m.
Support for KPR comes from Green Lady Lounge, featuring Kansas City jazz music, cocktails, wine, and beer. Live Kansas City jazz 365 days a year till 3 a.m. Information at greenladylounge.com.
40% chance of showers and storms late tonight. Lows around 50 degrees. It's 7:01. This is KPR.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Ryland Barton. Former Cuban President Raul Castro is facing charges in the U.S. for his alleged involvement in the deaths of humanitarian workers 30 years ago. President Trump told reporters today that Cuba is free.
I think it's a very big moment for people that, not only Cuban Americans, but people that came from Cuba that want to go back to Cuba, people that want to see their family in Cuba. I think this is a very big day, very important day. They supported me to the nth degree.
The Justice Department says Castro played a role in shooting down two planes carrying members of the exile group Brothers to the Rescue in 1996. Four people, including three U.S. citizens, died. And the Justice Department has indicted a former federal prosecutor for sending herself a copy of Special Counsel Jack Smith's report on the investigation into President Trump's classified documents case. NPR's Jacqueline Diaz has more.
Prosecutors allege that Carmen Mercedes Leinberger emailed a copy of the report to her personal email in January 2025 and tried to hide the fact that she was doing this. The grand jury indictment says she downloaded the documents and emailed them with titles like chocolatecakerecipe.pdf. The indictment doesn't say what Leinberger planned to do with the documents. At the time, a federal judge had ordered the report sealed. Judge Eileen Cannon has since ordered the report permanently sealed. Leinberger served as the managing assistant U.S. attorney in Fort Pierce, Florida. She pleaded not guilty to four felony charges, including theft of government property. Jacqueline Diaz, NPR News.
The commercial rocket company SpaceX has filed paperwork for what could be the biggest initial public offering in history. As NPR's Jeff Brumfield reports, its financial disclosures show the company's ambitions and how much it's spending.
SpaceX has already cornered the market on rocket launches, and it's built the world's only satellite internet service. Going forward, it wants to construct data centers in space, build bases on the moon, and eventually put humans on the surface of Mars. Reaching these goals could make SpaceX one of the most valuable companies in history. But to fulfill its ambitions, the financial disclosures showed SpaceX spending eye-watering amounts of money. Last year, its AI division, xAI, spent close to $12 billion. The company spent another $3 billion developing its massive new rocket Starship. Overall, SpaceX lost money in the first quarter of this year. Only its satellite internet service turned a profit. Jeff Brumfield, NPR News.
The U.S. military says it boarded an Iranian-flagged oil tanker in the Gulf of Oman that was suspected of trying to violate the American blockade. It's at least the fifth vessel to be boarded since the Trump administration began the blockade of Iranian shipping. U.S. Central Command says the ship was searched and redirected. You're listening to NPR News from Washington.
Stardate, May 20th. The moon lines up with the twins of Gemini this evening, the stars Pollux and Castor. Pollux is the brighter twin and is closer to the moon. The brilliant planet Jupiter is to the lower right of the moon. Gemini has been around for thousands of years. Its roots trace back to ancient Babylon, as do those of many other constellations. All of them were recorded in one of the most important works of astronomy in the ancient world. Known as the Almagest, it was written by Claudius Ptolemy around the year 150. Ptolemy studied many fields, including astronomy, astrology, geology, and music theory. The Almagest is perhaps his most famous work. In it, he recorded the positions of 1,000 stars and included details on the motions of the sun, moon, and planets. He also discussed everything from eclipses to the length of the year. The book listed 48 constellations that were visible from northern skies, Gemini among them. The constellations weren't given any borders, just the regions of the sky in which they appeared, and some barren regions weren't part of any constellation. Over the centuries, astronomers shifted things around some, and they created constellations for southern skies as well. Finally, in 1930, they created an official list of 88 constellations. Each one was given precise borders. That gave every star a home, its own address in the universe. Today's program was made possible by Mercer Caverns in Calaveras County in California's historic gold country. More information at mercercaverns.net. For the McDonald Observatory, I'm Billy Henry.
They died one day apart. Hi, I'm Jake Armerding. Glad to be listening to music with you. The Spanish Baroque composer Antonio Soler was, in fact, a hermit monk, which I imagine gave him some time for composition. Here's his keyboard sonata number 11. Thank you. music of Antonio Soler. He was best known for his keyboard sonatas. That was the 11th, performed with characteristic aplomb by Martina Filiak. A little C major, coming up.
From the University of Kansas, it's your place for NPR News, Kansas Public Radio, 91.5 Lawrence, 89.7 Emporia, and online for you at kansaspublicradio.org. This month's KPR Community Spotlight is on Kansas Trails Incorporated, partnering with local leaders and volunteers to expand outdoor opportunities, support local economies, and keep Kansas a place where being outdoors is part of everyday life. Details at kstrails.org.
Here's a look at the KPR weather forecast. It's 65 and mostly cloudy. Wind is from the east-northeast at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tonight, a few showers with a low in the upper 40s. Wind will be from the northeast at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Then, tomorrow, a few showers with a high in the mid-60s. Wind will be from the east at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tomorrow night, a few showers with a low in the low 50s. It's 65 and mostly cloudy. That's KPR weather.
In 1828, a small but mighty ensemble called the Society of the Friends of Music in Vienna. That was it. That was their whole long name. They were just beyond excited to perform Schubert's Ninth Symphony. They jumped in, and then they said, "Whoa, hit the brakes. I think we bit off more than we could chew." So they regrouped. They decided to do Symphony No. 6 instead. Same key, but easier. That's why the number 9 is known as the great C major, and 6 is the little C major. Here's the little one.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Claudio Abbado, leading the Chamber Orchestra of Europe, performing The Little C Major, the Symphony No. 6 by Franz Schubert. The ultimate non-downloadable experience coming right up.
Support for classical music on KPR comes from the Topeka Symphony Orchestra, offering tickets for the 2026-27 season, American Icons celebrating the United States' 250th anniversary, Bernstein to Gershwin and more. Details at topekasymphony.org. And Kansas City PBS, offering educational programs like Daniel Tiger's Neighborhood, Weather Hunters, Carl the Collector, and Lila in the Loop. Available on demand in the PBS Kids video app.
Here's a look at the KPR weather forecast. It's 64 and cloudy. Wind is from the east at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tonight, a few showers with a low in the upper 40s. Wind will be from the northeast at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Then, tomorrow, a few showers with a high in the mid-60s. Wind will be from the east at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tomorrow night, a few showers with a low in the low 50s. It's 64 and cloudy. Stay tuned for more KPR weather.
Live music. It's a special thing, isn't it? Especially in today's culture where community can sometimes seem like an afterthought. Live performance, it creates this beautiful yet temporary community. Everyone's in the same place for the same reason. It's like automatic unity. Imagine that. The Polish composer Grzesław Bacewicz was so committed to live performance that during World War II, she performed secret concerts in Warsaw of music that the Nazis had banned. And that is what courage looks like. Here's her wind quintet. Thank you. Krakow Golden Quintet, performing the Wind Quintet by Bachevitz.
From the University of Kansas, this is Kansas Public Radio. KANU and KANU HD1 Lawrence, FM 91.5. KANH and KANH HD1 Emporia, FM 89.7. KANV and KANV HD1 Olsburg Junction City, FM 91.3. KANQ Chanute, FM 90.3. And online at kansaspublicradio.org.
Now here's your weather forecast for the KPR listening area. It's 64 and cloudy. Wind is from the east at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tonight, a few showers with a low in the upper 40s. Wind will be from the northeast at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Then, tomorrow, a few showers with a high in the mid-60s. Wind will be from the east at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tomorrow night, a few showers with a low in the low 50s. It's 64 and cloudy. That's KPR weather.
Would you call yourself an avid recycler? I am. I love the idea of using things at least twice, if not 100 times. You probably see the value in recycling bottles and cans. What about music? Is that efficient or just lazy? This piece was recycled from a string quartet. It went on to be recycled itself to make a choral composition. Art and sustainability coming up.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Ryland Barton. Two police officers who defended the Capitol during the January 6 riot are suing to block payouts from a new $1.8 billion settlement fund for people who claim to be victims of political prosecutions. Yesterday, Acting Attorney General Todd Blanche wouldn't rule out the possibility that rioters who assaulted police would be eligible for fund payouts. President Trump says he's in no hurry to make a deal with Iran. NPR's Franco Ordonez says a state of limbo surrounds any negotiations.
The threat the U.S. could strike this weekend speaks to the uncertainty some former officials, like Mona Yacoubian, who is now at the Center for Strategic and International Studies, say is turning into a, quote, frozen conflict that could extend for months.
The bigger fear is also just that there is no resolution. Or there's a resolution that leads to Iran's retaining de facto control over the Strait of Hormuz and Iran being able to continue to be disruptive.
She called that a kind of half solution where Trump's constant threats and the potential retaliation impair any real movement toward economic repair or economic growth. Franco Ordonez, NPR News.
The AI data center boom continues to drive up demand for microchips. Chipmaker NVIDIA just logged another quarter of record sales. NPR's John Ruich reports.
NVIDIA's revenues jumped 20% over the prior quarter and were nearly double what they were during the same quarter last year, hitting $81.6 billion. Most of that came from data centers, which have been going gangbusters. Major tech companies have been funneling money into artificial intelligence. NVIDIA is in the right place. It makes the world's most popular chips for training and deploying AI models. CEO Jensen Huang said demand has, quote, gone parabolic. That's because AI is now doing more productive and valuable tasks through agents or programs that can operate semi-autonomously. Huang's bullishness aside, NVIDIA is under intense pressure to maintain its soaring growth rate. Despite the better-than-expected earnings, the company's share price slipped in after-hours trading. John Ruich, NPR News.
Hot, windy weather east of Los Angeles is making for dangerous fire conditions. From member station KVCR, Madison Ahmet reports.
The Bain and Verona fires both ignited Tuesday in different parts of Riverside County. More than 4,500 people are under evacuation orders between both blazes. John Klingingsmith, who's with CAL FIRE, says crews are focused on defending homes. He says the weather is posing a challenge.
Temperatures are going to increase. Relative humidity is going to drop. Winds are going to pick up. So that's going to challenge the lines that we have in place right now.
It'll be dry and windy through Friday. Klingingsmith says the cause of both fires are under investigation. For NPR News, I'm Madison Ahmet in Riverside County.
And this is NPR News from Washington.
Your childhood may shape your future in more ways than you think. Anna Ferkel, a KU graduate researcher, is investigating interventions for positive outcomes.
Hi, my name is Anna Ferkel, and I'm a second-year graduate student at the University of Kansas Medical Center in the neuroscience department, and a Madison and Lila Self graduate fellow. And my research focuses on how early life stress can have negative outcomes later in life.
What are some examples of early life stress?
Early life stress is generally categorized into three different groups. There's abuse, neglect, or household dysfunction. So examples of this might be physical abuse or mental abuse or growing up in poverty even.
What are some issues that can arise if these conditions are not addressed?
So early life stress impacts a lot of people. We think that about 60% of the population experiences at least one instance of early life stress over their lifespan. And this can lead to decreased life expectancy by about 20 years. It can lead to increased instances of depression and chronic pain disease, as well as issues with memory and cognitive function.
So how does your research lessen those negative outcomes?
My research specifically is looking at different therapies as well as pathways that are involved in early life stress outcomes. Specifically right now I'm looking at exercise and how different methods and amounts of exercise could help decrease those negative outcomes.
It's still early in your research, but have you seen any promising results?
So far, we've been seeing some promising changes in our groups that have experienced or undergo exercise conditions, and my further research will hopefully see a broader impact on our exercise groups to kind of figure out ways that we can lessen those adverse outcomes.
For more information about graduate research, visit graduate.ku.edu or our website at kansaspublicradio.org. For Research Matters, I'm Steve Kincaid.
Hi, I'm Jake Armerding. Glad to be listening to music with you. Here is an obad from Cyril Scott. An obad, as of course you know, is a piece of music for dawn, early morning. It's wake-up music. There's nothing necessarily bad about it. Although, I guess it all depends on how you spent the night before, doesn't it? It's the BBC Philharmonic, led by Martin Brabbins, performing the Obat by Cyril Scott. Falletta presents Foss, coming up.
Curiosity leads to understanding.
What changed your mind?
It bridges divides.
Because it's not a black and white story, in my opinion, about heroes and villains.
And fosters connection.
The more we can interact with actual human beings, the better understanding we'll have of how truly complex and thoughtful people are.
Curiosity brings you here. This is NPR.
Now here's your weather forecast for the KPR listening area. It's 64 and cloudy. Wind is from the east at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tonight, a few showers with a low in the upper 40s. Wind will be from the northeast at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Then, tomorrow, a few showers with a high in the mid-60s. Wind will be from the east at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tomorrow night, a few showers with a low in the low 50s. It's 64 and cloudy. That's KPR weather.
There are many, many reasons to love conductor Joanne Falletta. Too many to list here, but my favorite might be the way she always seems to be trying to turn up the volume on lesser-known artists. That's something I really respect, I appreciate about her whole ethic. It's almost like she wants them to be heard. It's almost like it's only about the music. Here's Falletta conducting the Buffalo Philharmonic. It's the Symphony No. 1 by German-American composer Lukas Foss.
Thank you.
Joanne Falletta leading the Buffalo Philharmonic, performing Symphony No. 1 by Lucas Foss. He was good friends with Leonard Bernstein. Bernstein once described him as an authentic genius. I prefer inauthentic geniuses myself. Coming up, we're headed to the recycling center. Bring your bottles.
Public radio is civic infrastructure built for accountability.
The government is actively trying to rewrite this history.
For insight.
That has huge effects here at home, right? What does that look like?
For finding answers.
NPR's investigations team explains what...
For good company.
I keep learning again and again that hope is the right response to the human condition.
We are still here for your right to be curious. This is NPR.
Now here's your weather forecast for the KPR listening area. It's 63 and cloudy. Wind is from the east at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tonight, a few showers with a low in the upper 40s. Wind will be from the northeast at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Then tomorrow, a few showers with a high in the mid-60s. Wind will be from the east at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tomorrow night, a few showers with a low in the low 50s. It's 63 and cloudy. That's KPR weather.
I don't know about you, but I think I care a little too much about recycling. I drive my plastic bags to the food co-op because I know they're not just going to throw them in the trash like a big box store might. How about recycling music? Composer Samuel Barber was a committed recycler. This piece started its life as a string quartet. Then he recycled the second movement, renamed it Adagio for Strings. Later on, he took that and made a choral piece out of it. Probably depends on the quality of the music you're recycling. NPR named this piece one of the 100 most important American musical works of the 20th century. And here it is. Adagio for Strings by Barber.
From the University of Kansas, this is Kansas Public Radio, KANU and KANU HD1 Lawrence, FM 91.5, KANH and KANH HD1 Emporia, FM 89.7, KANV and KANV HD1 Olsburg Junction City, FM 91.3, KANQ Chanute, FM 90.3, and online at kansaspublicradio.org.
I'm Maria Lopez. Now here's your weather forecast for the KPR listening area. It's 63 and cloudy. Wind is from the east at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tonight, a few showers with a low in the upper 40s. Wind will be from the northeast at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Then tomorrow, a few showers with a high in the mid-60s. Tomorrow night, a few showers with a low in the low 50s. It's 63 and cloudy. Stay tuned for more KPR weather.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Ryland Barton. The U.S. government has indicted former Cuban President Raul Castro on charges including murder in connection with the 1996 downing of two civilian aircraft that killed four people, three of them U.S. citizens. It comes as the Trump administration escalates pressure on the country's socialist government. NPR's Eder Peralta has more on what could come next.
I think everyone's thinking the same thing. They're looking at Venezuela, where the United States had indicted now former President Nicolas Maduro of drug trafficking. And this January, American soldiers swooped into Caracas and they brought him to a jail in Brooklyn. I spoke to Michael Bustamante, who studies Cuba at the University of Miami, and he says clearly the U.S. has been ratcheting up pressure on the Cubans. The U.S. has enacted a de facto oil blockade. They've announced new sanctions on basically the whole Cuban leadership. And Bustamante says the thing the Trump administration was missing was a pretext for some kind of military action. And this might be exactly that.
NPR's Eder Peralta reporting. SpaceX revealed plans today to sell shares to the public in what will likely be the biggest ever initial public offering. It's unclear how much SpaceX plans to raise, but it could surpass the debut of Saudi Aramco, the national oil company of Saudi Arabia. SpaceX has gotten several contracts with government agencies like NASA and the Defense Department from rocket launches and satellite systems. The move would make Elon Musk the world's first trillionaire. Health Secretary Robert F. Kennedy Jr. is making big changes to an important scientific panel. As NPR's Ping Huang reports, the panel creates guidelines that affect hundreds of millions of Americans.
If you've ever gotten a routine mammogram or a colonoscopy or screening for depression in a physical, it's because of guidelines created by the U.S. Preventive Services Task Force. The panel of primary care clinicians recommends screenings and services people should and shouldn't get based on scientific reviews. Kennedy fired the two top physicians leading the panel. He's called the task force negligent and vowed to shake it up. Dr. Alex Crist is a family physician and former chair of the panel.
The task force, it's been the North Star on how do we make guidelines, and it's had such an influence on prevention and health in America. To just throw this out is just reckless.
Health officials plan to name new members to the panel in June. Ping Huang, NPR News.
Tennessee officials will pay $835,000 to settle a lawsuit filed by a man who was jailed over a Facebook post he made joking about the assassination of conservative activist Charlie Kirk. Retired police officer Larry Bushart spent 37 days in jail before authorities dropped the felony charge against him. The Perry County Sheriff said the post's alarmed residents. Bushart says he was exercising his free speech rights and never should have been arrested. U.S. stock market bounced back today. You're listening to NPR News from Washington. Healthcare workers in Congo say they are underprotected and undertrained amid a rapidly spreading outbreak of Ebola. The World Health Organization says the outbreak poses a low global risk, but local case numbers will increase. The arrival of any potential vaccine is months away. A new report says the global aid system is failing to address global humanitarian and health crises. NPR's Fatma Tanis has more on the findings of the report from the Lancet Commission on Health and the Johns Hopkins Center for Humanitarian Health.
The authors say the aid sector has essentially become a big business driven by power, money, and prestige. They say it's fragmented, under-resourced, unequal, and politicized. In interviews with hundreds of aid recipients, researchers learned that people couldn't really differentiate between the various NGOs and United Nations agencies. Aid workers, on the other hand, said donors were dictating where the money should go. The report suggests big reforms are needed, like shifting the power of decision-making from donors to affected communities, and that money is flowing based on need, not politics. With the global aid system in flux now due to the funding cuts, researchers say it's a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to transform the system. Fatma Tanis, NPR News.
A beloved feline at Nebraska's State House is retiring from public life. Cameron, the capital cat, lived in a condo near the seat of power in Lincoln, but he's moving to a new home with his caretaker. According to Nebraska Public Media, Cameron took his civic duty seriously and frequented the Capitol to ensure lawmakers were enacting the will of the people. You're listening to NPR News from Washington.
Support for NPR comes from NPR stations. Other contributors include Capital One, offering their dining and entertainment card, Saver. What's in your wallet? Terms apply. Details at CapitalOne.com. And listeners like you who donate to this NPR station.
Composer, arranger, big band leader, Ben Markley and the Ben Markley Big Band, and one he wrote and cleverly titled Ben's Tune. He was featured at the piano, also featured trombonist Steve Davis and drummer Kyle Swan. And welcome to tonight's Jazz in the Night on Kansas Public Radio. I'm Bob McWilliams, and so appreciate you joining me. We're going to hear from the new one from pianist Billy Childs, his first trio album in a quarter of a century. That's on the way. Also on the way out of the vinyl vault is cornetist Nat Annerly. But right now we're going to have a set of Ellington tunes. The second will come from Grant Stewart from the album. Grant Stewart plays the music of Duke Ellington and Billy Strayhorn. We'll hear his version of Island of Song, Go Out of My Heart. But before that, alto saxophonist Benny Carter back in 1952 with with Barney Kessel on guitar, Ray Brown on bass, and Buddy Rich on drums, and Oscar Peterson piano, doing I Got It Bad and That Ain't Good. Thank you.
Thank you.